It happens that some of us identify more with the he aspect of empty consciousness, and some of us identify more with the she aspect of full light and love. It just turns out that way. It didn't have to. And it doesn't for everybody, but for most people, they identify with one more than the other. So you have a masculine essence, which means if you have work to do at home and you go to a party and the party's fantastic and everyone's dancing and there's great food and so forth, at a certain point you're going to go, can't waste my time anymore, I've got to get back to work. Because to you, enjoying life is wasting your time compared to working on your mission, even if it kills you. That's what the masculine is like. So if you have a masculine essence, then your natural genius will be to rest as the depth of consciousness and align the world from that place. It's just going to be what you naturally do. It's not that you should do it. It's that if you don't do it, you'll suffer. You are suffering any moment you're not doing it. You feel ungiven. You feel incomplete in any moment where you're not offering your deepest consciousness to the world. Does that make sense so far? So now you're in a relationship. Now you offer your deepest consciousness to your woman. Well, what does that mean? How do you offer your deepest consciousness to your woman? Well, if you go, here's my deepest consciousness, and she goes, I don't want that. What are you going to do? What would allow you to die complete? To go, okay, you don't want it, fine, bye. Or to persist and offer it and feel her and take in her feedback into account and maybe change because she's giving you feedback that really makes a difference. Maybe ask your friends, your close men friends, whether they think you're right on or if you're off the mark. And then come back and really offer it to her again completely. She might go, yeah, you still don't want it. Well, it's up to you whether you want to back off offering your gift, because the world's going to do the same thing. Anyone who's tried to give their biggest gift to the world knows that the world doesn't just go, oh, thank you. It does that in moments, but in plenty of moments it tries to slaughter you. You either back off or you persist, and that's the difference between a mediocre man and a superior man, or a good, you know, someone who's really practicing fully. So to persist in offering your deepest gift in spite of resistance is the way a superior man or a third stage man would live. Now, the world and your woman are aspects of the feminine. She has a masculine part too, but she has a feminine essence, which means that her deepest pleasure is going to be resisting everything you have to give her and a feeling that you don't collapse when she resists, and then she can really trust you. Because you're not worthy of trust if you back off and she resists. Raise your hands, ladies, if you agree with me. Okay. So the scenario, much to men's dislike, is that the deeper you go and the more integrity you have, the more your woman will resist you. For her pleasure. Because she loves to feel that she can't veer you from your deepest alignment. She loves to feel your depth of consciousness unperturbable. She could get angry, you're unperturbed, you stay loving. She could collapse, you're unperturbed, you stay loving. She could mostly criticize you, and you remain totally loving. You listen to her, some of it's bullshit, some of it's true. Take it into account, keep going, no collapse. That's the kind of man a woman could then really surrender with, knowing he's not going to collapse. That's what I mean by taking the lead. It has nothing to do with controlling her, which is useless in any case. The feminine is much stronger than the masculine energetically. It would be like saying, well, I'm going to control the ocean. You know, all of nature is feminine. So a good sailor, for instance, navigates the ocean, is intimate with the ways of the ocean, but has great respect for the ocean, because the sailor knows that no matter how hard he tries, if the ocean wants to crush him, the ocean wins. You know what I mean? He could be the best sailor in the world, but if a storm's big enough, there ain't nothing he could do. And it's the exact same relationship between you and her. She wants to crush you, you are crushed. There's just nothing you could do about it. She's emotionally stronger than you, sexually stronger than you, in every way energetically stronger than you. The only thing you have to offer her that she can't just smash to a nub with an insult and a tilt of her head is the depth of your consciousness, which is as if already dead. That she can't touch. She could beat your body and insult you and emote on you all she wants, but if you're resting as open consciousness, you just smile. So what? She kills you. Then what is she going to do? Her only response to that depth of consciousness is devotional surrender, followed immediately by more resistance. To see if you're still worth surrendering with. Because a man who's present is nowhere near as sexy or as trustable as a man who's present when she's resisting you and insulting you and criticizing you. That's really sexy. Hear all the ladies in here? They're like... Now the same thing goes in the other direction. There's nothing more erotic or inspiring than your woman offering her devotion to your depth of consciousness. However, it's even more erotic if she actually opens in response to your depth of consciousness. Let me make it as graphic as possible so you understand what I'm talking about. If you have genital intercourse with her, and you walk in there, and her pussy's already wet and hot and big, and like your dick slips in there and nothing changes because she's already totally surrendered and wet and juicy and full, that's good. But would you prefer that? Or would you prefer putting your penis inside of her? She's kind of a little dry, a little tight, and then in response to you, she opens and gets wet and feels you and surrenders. Which is more erotic? The second one. So in a sense, you need to feel her not simply worshiping consciousness, but worshiping consciousness in response to you entering her. Do you understand that? Sexually at least, if not emotionally? Well, it's the same thing in all of life. Likewise, she doesn't just want to feel you present, conscious. She wants to feel your conscious presence in response to her criticism, anger, moods, anything she can give you. Her delight is to feel that conscious presence in response to that thing that lesser men would turn away from, try to control, smash down. That's what she wants to feel. Present men are great, but a man who remains present when she's fucking you up, that's a man she could trust for maybe 30 seconds. Test you again, see if you're still trustable. Surrender completely, test you again, surrender completely, trust you again, surrender completely. And that's exactly how the world works too. You try to do something great in the world, anything. Try doing some huge political movement or something. Try making some economic change in the world. Try forming a company that serves young boys or young girls, or I mean anything that serves people. And you'll run into all kinds of bizarre shit. There'll be great days where everything goes easy, then suddenly some weird thing happens, like, well, you find out there's a law against blankety blank, or some other corporation blankety blank, or someone who was your best friend suddenly is da 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 da, and you realize this place is a play of he and she. And the play is he, consciousness, is pervading everything and opening it, and she, light, is dancing. And if you're afraid of that dance, which always ends in death, then you might as well just quit. Might as well just go back to the cave, kill yourself, whatever it takes, because this place is the ongoing wedding of he and she. And if you two are going to capitulate that in your relationship, if you're going to live that out, if you're going to embody the deepest aspects of consciousness and love light in your relationship, then you need to be ready for her dance. And that dance, for her sake, is going to be, are you conscious when I do this? And on your side, it'll be, will you surrender when I'm like this? And it's ongoing. It goes deeper and 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 deeper. But the tests on both sides get more profound. And so your original question was about leading. Well, what I'm talking about is persistently offering the depth of your consciousness so that her, you are pinning down her life to the deepest possible place she could be, to the most blissful, open, God-inspired love she ever knows, constantly in her body. What does that take? More than any of us have. But if we don't do it, we die incomplete. You, and again, the best of your efforts will be met, just like any sailor's efforts will be met, by clear days and stormy days. And some days that are just going to kill you. And it doesn't matter how good you're doing. But a good sailor knows that, respects that, is prepared for that, maintains humor, courage, love in the face of those storms. If he's going to die, at least he's going to die doing his mission, you know? He's going to die giving it everything. There's no other way to die, really. You're going to die in any case. So why not die giving her everything? Why not die opening her to God to the best of your ability? And what does that mean? All together. That's what, when you said leading her, that's what I'm talking about. Giving her that consistently in the face of her refusal. Always check with your close friends, because it's easy to delude yourself. And you really need your close friends to tell you when you're full of shit so you stay aligned. Very critical. But if they agree, and her friends agree with you, and it feels true to you, and she's resisting, she's just enjoying it to find out, are you going to persist? Or are you a wimp? You know, when a woman like walks into her room and goes, leave me alone, shuts the door, sometimes she means leave me alone. But a lot of times she's waiting on the other side of the door. So if you ever listen to what she says and believe it, most of the time you're failing. Because she'll actually tell you things that are wrong in terms of masculine right and wrong, which is very different than feminine right and wrong. To you, if she says blankety blank, she means blankety blank, but that's the masculine way. To the masculine way, your word is your integrity. So if I say, you know, I'm going to meet you at 3 o'clock and I don't show up, then to be in integrity, I have to say, I fucked up, I was late, I'll pay a consequence, whatever. You know, I stay in integrity with my word. In the feminine domain, that's like, I don't know, there's no metaphor. That's like trying to make the ocean into a cardboard box. You know, it's just like the feminine integrity is expressing what she's feeling in the moment. That's feminine integrity, which changes every moment. And the moment she expresses it, it's already changed. So the moment she says it, she's already lying because it's changed. It's not like she's lying purposely some of the time. Some of the time she is. But a lot of the times it's just, she's so sensitive in the domain of energy that as soon as she said something, it's changed how she felt. So the next moment, if you're now responding to what she said, and she goes, well, that's not how I feel. And you go, you just said that's how you feel. Well, yeah, she did, but that's not how she feels anymore. So anytime you believe the content of what your woman's saying as content, if she's in her masculine, it has as much content as a masculine person would have. But how often do you want her in her masculine? Sometimes. But not all the time. If she's in her feminine, what she says is like the sound of the wind blowing. It's like the birds, it's like the river rushing. Just listen to it like the river. And open her to God. So she says blah, 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 blah. You just feel into her and open her the best that you can. She goes blah, blah, blah. Open her the best that you can. She goes, blah, open her the best that you can. Whatever she's doing, your response is always to do your best to serve her as well as the world, your best friends, your children, your family, your community, as open as possible. And you will get resistance. It's not a pretty picture. If you want a pretty picture, do not try to serve the world open. You will burn out in a few years because it's not going to open. There's men and women who have been born greater than anybody in this room who have given their entire life to open the world. And in most cases, more people were ruined by what they did than saved. I mean, just take someone like Jesus. Many more people have been killed in the name of Jesus than have been enlightened. How many people do you know that are enlightened Christians, and how many people in the history of the world have fought in the name of Jesus. It's not even worth comparing. I mean, even in his lifetime, he only had a handful of disciples, and everyone else was killing because of him. So the results of giving your greatest gift, it's whatever it is. That's all you could do if you're going to live complete. That's all you're going to do if you're going to be consciousness. You have no choice but to suffer or give everything. The results of doing that is some change, a lot of pain, death. There's some good change that comes, but you look at a lifetime of effort, the amount of change compared to the amount of pain to a masculine person is... You don't want to weigh it that way, or you're just going to back off and smoke dope in your room or something. So she's just giving you an opportunity to feel the world in a more intense and lively and responsive fashion. She'll bite your head off before the world will, but the world will if you don't have a woman anyways. She knows the moment you're out of integrity, and if she's in the third stage, she will show you. And all you get from being open is being open. She might get worse. She might go, well, you're that open, try this. You know what I'm talking about, right, when I'm talking about this? I mean, it's amazing how sensitive the feminine is. She knows exactly what to say to undercut your efforts. Exactly what to do. She knows if you're 99.99999% aligned with your purpose, but there's this 0.00001% that's like slightly off, she'll be able to just go onto that thing and you go, oh, she's right. And unless you worship that capacity, you'll suffer it. What a better ally is there to have than someone who won't settle for anything less than perfect consciousness, and then tests it when it is perfect. That's the way it is in any case, whether you like it or not. So you might as well make use of it, honor it, worship it, because that's the way it is. You won't find a relationship or a relationship to the world that differs from that. So that's what leading the woman means, if you want to use it colloquial terms. It means opening her to the best of your ability in every moment in spite of her refusal, because your humor is greater than her resistance. I think most ladies would like that, yes? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Humor is good.
Yes?
You know how you have us look left eye into left eye in practices? Well, sometimes my partner and I look left eye into right eye.
Yeah, in general, the left side of the body is more feminine than the right side of the body, and feminine and feminine together make a deeper feminine. But masculine and masculine together love to compete. That's how they express love. Just do whatever opens him to God. Poke him in the eye if that's what. But we use the left eye because when you look right eye to right eye, it tends to express love in the form of competition. When you look left eye to left eye, it expresses love in the form of communion. And so in most of these exercises, that's the appropriate way to do it. But whatever works. I mean, there's no dogma involved, you know. I would say if you're actually worrying about which eye to look in the moment of practice, that maybe the practice needs to be a little heart-connected more, so you're feeling what is deepening. You're trying to open him to 10, so to speak. Do whatever it takes. Look, close your eyes, open your eyes, look left, look right. Do whatever it takes to open him to 10. If it makes a difference which eye you look in the eye that makes the that works. And that should be obvious, right? I mean, would you purposely look in the eye that closed him if it happened to be something I said? I hope not. Everything I say is just the best shot. You know, there's an exception to everything. The difference to notice is what opens him more. That's the relevant difference. If you have the mind left to do what you're saying, he's not opening you enough. If you could think he's not opening you enough, if you even know if you're what eye you're looking in, he's probably not opening you enough. So I would say to him that your question is an indication that he needs to be a little more ravishing in the way he opens you, even just looking into your eyes. Maybe I'm off. Let me ask the ladies here. Have there been a moment in this workshop even when you've been working with a man and he was so present with you that you just swooned and the last thing you're wondering is like how the energy is moving, which eye you're looking? Raise your hand if you were...
Right.
So the deeper question is that if you could even ask that, he hasn't yet ravished you in that moment. That's the deeper issue. Doesn't matter which eye you're looking. Looking whatever works. But if you could even ask that question... He's not taking you from the first moment. The first moment's very important. So he just sits down and like looks right into your eyes and you go, not.
What this relationship is a woman who has strongly developed her masculine and a man who has strongly developed his feminine, and we're moving toward the third stage because it's too painful for both of us to stay in that second stage.
Well, when she's wondering about which eye to look into, smack her. Smack her, just so I know you know how to do it. This is what I want you to do. So look her in the eyes right now, just where you're sitting. Now really gently with your hand, let's say, tap her thigh. You know what her thigh is? You know, in the most loving way possible, as if tapping her thigh or smacking, however hard you want, would give her an orgasm. It could be a very gentle thing. It could be a firm thing, but smack her to open her. See if it worked. If it didn't, go, okay, it didn't, and try it again. Just try it again. How's this? Squeeze her thigh as if you were fucking her. Just squeeze it until she can't decide which eye to look in. So you've got to go a lot farther than this. Tell her her eyes look like endless cunts into the universe. And a quick squeeze. It's getting there. So you got to, like you say, she likes to be in her masculine. You're more used to your feminine. That's fine. Now to change that, you're going to have to really practice. You're going to have to persist. Just relentlessly, just like this, for hours until you get her to crack. And it'll last a few seconds, and you know. Yeah, well, that might be your problem right there, thinking that you do and giving yourself more credit than is due. She's not yet ravished. She's not yet ravished enough to trust you. And it takes time for that, you know, and that's fine. That's how it is. It takes practice, and you're practicing and so forth. But the moment she starts wondering about which eye to look in and that kind of thing, that's the moment to flabbergast her with your humor, your passion, your strength, your love, your sensitivity, your poetry. Just spontaneously speak poetry to her about the birds and the woods and how much you love her. She's going, now, which eye, you know. And well, do that. It's not that serious of a thing. I mean, it takes a lot of work, but to create happiness in her body, to open her heart, is basically, it takes two things. Your dark side and your humor. In very sensitive and instantaneous combination. So the best possible thing to do, And there, it's an art. The same thing will never work twice. And even if I tell you, as soon as she hears it, it won't work anymore because she's heard it. So it's got to be spontaneous. But so you're just there. She's blabbing on and on about something like, well, I'm thinking the right eye actually moves more energy than the left eye. And I feel it, you know, going here in this part. And you go like, shut up, Jesus. And you go, I love you, baby. God, I love you. So we're just like. Now, if you wait 5 seconds, she'll go, now that eye that I was just looking in, you know, and now if you did the exact same thing again, it wouldn't work. So now it's got to be a different thing. So now she's talking, finger up her anus. She goes, oh, what are you doing? You just go, I'm Mickey Mouse. She goes, what? You go, I love you. There's two things. Now, neither of those will work again, of course. I'm trying to think of things you probably wouldn't do anyways, not to steal your thunder. So she's talking about her eyes, and you like go, and she goes, and you go like, just kiss her really hard, hold her back, smack her a few times, kiss her really hard, walk her over to the wall, press her against the wall, kissing her, come back and just go like, I'm a little girl, oh, kissing her again, holding her back. I mean, how, look at her now. She has more pleasure in her body now. Look at her. She's happier now.
She loves that, but obviously I'm not doing that enough for her.
Oh, but you could starting now. I mean, just starting any time. It's fine. Whenever you want. I've never done those things I've just said, first of all. I mean, those are just spontaneous things that came up in the moment, but it's always got to be fresh and new. It has to be something you've never done before, or it won't work. So it's just it's a matter of, you know, if you're rested in consciousness, you just don't take it that seriously. I mean, you're already dead. I don't know how to say it. When you're rested in consciousness, it's as if you are already dead. The biggest gains and losses in your life are irrelevant. I mean, you still feel them. They hurt. They give you pleasure. But so, I mean, you're already dead. I mean, you know that death is the result of all of this. Big fucking deal. Whatever she does, I mean, you're already dead. You know, for her sake, open her to God. What does it take? Like, blah, 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 you know, big deal. How serious do you want to get that she's in her masculine and you're in her feminine and you try and you're not there yet, but you're going to be there, but you also try to be there too much, and you know that, but you're not going to do that anymore because you're done trying that. I mean, it's just feel that it's just okay. I mean, like, you're going to die, you know? This is a temporary vision and you're going to die. Give her whatever's left, you know? Give her your love, give her your humor, fuck her open to God in whatever way. And by that I don't mean just fuck, I mean all the ways like I was just fooling around with. Constantly, though, it's the persistence that makes the difference. It's the unexpected moment where you walk back to your cabin and you open the door, but instead you lift her off and carry her over there, and she goes, and you put her down and you go back to business, and a few seconds later, a few minutes later, whatever, she reaches for a fork and you grab her hand and you pull it and you kiss it up and down and you put it back on the fork and you go about your business. Sexual things work great too. I mean, she's going like, you know, I'm really tired about the way you did it. You take out your dick and you go, suck this. Suck this or I'm not moving. Okay. Now you notice the ladies are laughing. They're not. Do you have enough marbles in your bag now that you can kind of pull it out? It's just hang loose, so to speak, you know? It's a, your humor and your dark, aggressive loving are your two most valuable assets as a man opening her. To be, you know, you're talking about cultivating your masculine. The most valuable assets are that combination of dark, commanding urgency and humor instantaneously mixed together in totally surprising and unexpected ways all day and night, obviously. But anytime you're getting serious, you know, like, exactly. She already knows you're taking it too serious. She can't trust you, and she'll move into her masculine. Now, I wonder which eye I should look in. I've tried looking in the left and the right eye, and it's all because you're being serious. Now I'm putting it on you. It's not really all your fault. It's just mostly your fault. But she's got her part, too. She'll resist you, like you say, even when you're doing it, you know, and so there's that play involved, but you know what to do, so. When she's trying to figure out which eye to look in, just close your eyes. Well, you have to do it differently every time, constantly. If it doesn't work instantly, shift to a different thing, you know?
And my failure to do exactly what you were talking about feels serious to me.
It is serious, but the response to the serious recognition of that is to offer yourself fully because there's nothing left. It's worth being serious about, but the response to that seriousness is love. So you know which eye to look into now?
I'm not clear how to open a man in the reciprocal way that you just described for him. Could you give me some more of a description of that?
A man or any particular man, the one who might be behind you at the moment? why don't you stand up for a moment over here? I'll call him Mr. Big. Okay, Mr.
Quite
Big, you can stand here. No, the one who keeps looking behind her. Okay, do whatever you need to within workshop rules to open him and inspire his life with your devotion, and you tell me when it's working. Just go, it's working.
It's working.
Okay, now just stand to the side here. Your turn. Now he's your guy, I think. So do whatever it takes to open him. Yeah, and you just had an example. You asked for a demonstration. I mean, I could have done it. I didn't think he'd enjoy it as much. As I Say it's working when it's working.
It's working.
Okay. Thank you for your help. Okay. So I'll put it into words now, but the words are just a description of what is. Basically, the essential masculine disposition is that it's hardly worth being alive. Because the masculine, as I've been saying, is consciousness itself. It's outside of life. The only thing that makes life worth living at a certain level is women, or the feminine. Nature, beauty, radiance, most especially the feminine in human form. I mean, more poetry has been written, more paintings have been made, more inspiration of men has been by women than any other source all put together. You are his greatest inspiration, or you're not. He's chosen you to be that. He's chosen you to be his greatest inspiration. Now, as I was talking about earlier, yesterday I think it was, the second stage woman denigrates her sexual attractive power. She's used to either using it to get what she wants, like, I'd like a new car, so I'm going to be sexual with this guy and he'll buy me a new car, which is a first stage kind of thing. Or she's used to sharing it in a second stage arrangement, you know, I'll give you oral sex if you give me oral sex, or something, you know, where you both get what you want, or something that's a second stage thing. But what happens if your sexual attractiveness is the most powerful beacon that will inspire him in his life? If that's true, are you willing to give him that gift? Okay? Is that true? So now all that's left is whether you're willing. And especially, and this is where the third stage real practice comes in, and why we change partners a lot and stuff like that, it's when you don't want to that it's most important to. It's when you hate his guts that you must offer him your sexual devotion if you expect him to stay present when he can't stand your anger. Here, watch this. Stand up. And you stand up too. Quick demonstration. Stand up facing this way, just like that. Good. And come here, and you stand facing him that way. Good. Now, I'm going to ask him to do something, and when he does it, you're going to do exactly what you just did. I'm going to simulate it, but you do it the way you do it. You kind of were devoting yourself to him, lowering yourself, kind of sexually giving him that energy and so forth. What I want you to do is yell at her, just even though you're not angry at her. Now, at some moments you might be. So just start going, fuck you, I hate you, fuck you, I hate you, or something like that. And while he does that, just imagine all he wants is your sexual devotion. And give him that, and you persist being angry as long as you actually could in real life. And the moment you couldn't in real life anymore, stop. Okay? And you give, basically have orgasms against his leg, essentially. You know, that's the feeling in your body. You're giving him the most delightful feminine exposure of bliss that's humanly possible, and find out what happens to him. Okay? So start being a total asshole.
Okay, you fucking bitch. Keep away, you fucking cunt. Get the fuck out of here.
Keep
the
going.
Fuck out of here, you bitch. You fucking...
Now, would you prefer that, or would you prefer going like, don't talk to me that way? Did it work? Okay. Now, you're a relative beginner in the sense that, you know, you've asked the question, I'm showing you what to do, there'll be times you forget. But after years of practice, you could just look at him with such devotion, he just opens. His heart just opens. He feels shivers coming up and down his spine. He weeps at feeling your depth of trust and love. You can open him in the midst of his total closure with your devotion as you cultivate your capacity to give it. Just like as he cultivates his capacity to claim you, you could be in the most closed down, bitchy, upset mood in the world, but if he claims you with just the right humor and passion and intensity, you know what I'm talking about,
yes.
Right? But you'll only get that when you give that. They're mutual. You'll grow together in that. And you're both growing. I mean, you're great practitioners. It'll take you days, maybe, instead of years, but it continues to develop. So that's how you do it.